two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everyone, to this special coverage, Your Voice, Your Vote. We're breaking down all of the debates from the day today. In particular, you just listened to the gubernatorial debate between the current Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox, former Speaker of the House Greg Hughes, former Governor and Ambassador to Russia and China John Huntsman, and former Director and Head of the State GOP Thomas Wright, also a business developer and real estate person. And as we looked at the debate, again, 60 minutes goes so fast, as we know every day. It goes quickly on inside sources, and so a lot of ground to cover. And I want to tee things up before we get into the substance of the debate. A lot of people ask me, what should I be listening for in a debate? What is it that I should really be trying to key into to make a decision between each of the candidates running for governor? And as we look at this and the primary coming up here on June 30th, really down the home stretch, ballots will start being mailed out on the 9th, and the game will be on for sure. And so there's a couple of things that I want to do as a tee up in terms of how you listen to what we talk about over the course of the next hour. I always say that the first thing you should listen to in a debate is, when you listen to a candidate, what does their answer make you think of? Does it make you think just about them, or does it make you think about you, your life, your family, your community, your job, your future? And it's interesting to see how different candidates are able to do that, whether everything is just very self-focused and I will do this and this is my plan and this is what I'm going to do, or does it really help you see and envision how your life will be different or better if they were to lead? So that's the first question I think everyone should always be thinking about. Second, I get really tired of politicians across the political spectrum whose only vision is a vision of themselves in office. And that's always something to look for and listen for, is what do I sense? Do I feel like they really have a vision for the state and for the people of this? Or is this just a vision of office and being in political power? So that's a good question for you to be thinking about as you listen to the analysis here as we go through the next hour. One of my favorite questions, and we'll come back to this at the end of the show. And the question is, before you cast a vote for someone, what's the last thing you should think about? And my answer to that is, the last thing you should think about before casting a vote for any person in any office is, how would this person make a difference and add value to my community, to my state, if they lose? Now, that may seem like an odd question, but it's the real question. Because if you can't envision them making a difference and contributing and being a value-added member of the society outside of office, then they probably shouldn't be in office. In other words, if the only thing that allows them to make a difference is being in power, that means every decision they make while in office will be about maintaining and holding on to that power. And so asking yourself, how would this person make a difference if they weren't in office, is a good question. Those are just a few that I think everybody should be thinking about rolling into this whole thing. I think it was a strong debate, a really interesting performance from each of the candidates. And again, this is all moving towards the Republican primary. They will take on the Democrat in the fall. And I want to break down, starting with their opening statements, because the opening question was really about a question of leadership and what was it that made them different as a leader. So we're going to go through each of these answers from the candidates. Let's start with the opening, which was former Governor John Huntsman.
One word, leadership. Two words, experience leadership. I've been in the saddle before as governor. I've brought people together. I've helped to build this economy. I'm standing here because I know what we have been through most recently has caused anxiety and a lot of despair on the part of people. I know it's a confused world. I see opportunity for our state in that confusion. But I'm here also because I believe in conservative libertarian philosophies that I think should guide our future, Bruce. And I'm standing here because I believe we have an historic opportunity not just to recover from pandemics, riots, and uncertain times, but to be reborn. Reborn as the crossroads of the world. I will settle for nothing less.
So again, that was former Governor John Huntsman, very focused on his theme of Utah being the crossroads, not just to the West, but crossroads to the world. About going big was a big theme for him throughout the night tonight. Next, let's go to Thomas Wright, former GOP party chair, and let's hear what he had to say in his opening statement in terms of why he was different than the other candidates.
I believe that we need to listen to each other in society far more than we are right now. We have a variety of differences. We come from different backgrounds. And I believe that people that come from different temperaments, talents, and convictions are superior to those who are similar. As governor, I want to sit down and I want to listen. And we want to understand each other. We must first learn to listen. I have consistently done that in my life. I've done that in my business. And I will do that as governor by bringing people together, by listening, by having the difficult difficult conversations, talking about difficult things, the things that divide us right now. We are a strong people, but we have healing to do. We need to get together. We need to talk things out and come up with a plan by listening to each other's perspectives. And as governor, I'll do that.
So again, that's former GOP chair Thomas Wright, his opening statement. And really throughout the night, Thomas Wright really tried to play in this space of being the outsider, that it was going to take someone. Pointed out that the other three candidates on the stage have all held very high office, a governor, a lieutenant governor, and the Speaker of the House, really the three top posts in the state. So it was very interesting that Thomas Wright chose to focus on that and his experience in the business space and not being on the political inside was a big part of his theme tonight, played out in some interesting ways that we'll talk about as we move through the program. And then let's move to the former Speaker of the House, Greg Hughes, and his opening statement.
I am the proven conservative in this race, proud to say it, with a track record. Look at what's happening right now. We're seeing some brazen behavior on all fronts and in many ways. These are strange and challenging times that we're in. I will tell you this. We have a movement right now with the Democrats that are saying it very clearly that they would like to change their registration, not because they are converting to our party to become Republicans. They've read the platform and they want to be a Republican. They're doing it to influence the outcome of our party's nominee. What I know about what's happening, if you don't believe me, just look at the news reports. We have interviews going on that say anyone but Hughes. You've got Jim DeBacchus, who was the chair of the Democrat Utah Party, who's a Republican, registered Republican today. We brought people together on Operation Rio Grande. We fought lawlessness. We took on things people said they couldn't, but we did it as a conservative and conservative principle.
All right, so again, that's former Speaker Greg Hughes, his opening statement. Interesting, he did take on the challenge of those that are registering as Republicans, even Democrats. He mentioned Jim DeBacchus as one who has changed from his registration from a Democrat to a Republican, so he can vote in this June primary. Also interesting, throughout the night, Speaker Hughes focused a lot on his connection to President Trump and his conservative credentials there and some of his work in the state office there as well. So really fascinating where each of these candidates chose to go in their opening statements. And then things really started to get moving as they move forward and start talking about things like the coronavirus, about the unrest, what those balances are. And we're going to continue to break those down as we go through this hour here all the way till 8 o'clock tonight, breaking down the Republican gubernatorial debate tonight. And we're going to be joined a little later on at 7:35. We'll be joined by several people from the different campaigns. So we'll have current Representative Rob Bishop, who's the LG candidate with Thomas Wright, will join us. Deidre Henderson, who is the running mate to Spencer Cox. And then we'll have representatives from both the Huntsman campaign. Marty Carpenter will join us. And then Victor Iverson, the lieutenant governor candidate with Greg Hughes, will also join us. So we'll get their perspective in terms of what their candidate was doing tonight, what message they were really on and trying to get across, and how everyone did. So we'll do that coming up at 7:35. You don't want to miss that tonight as well. All right, we're going to go ahead and step aside. When we come back, we'll continue to break down some specifics, including some heated moments as it relates to the politics of the pandemic. Stay with us right here on KSL News Radio. Welcome back, everyone. Special coverage tonight. I am Boyd Matheson, opinion editor at the Deseret News and host of KSL's Inside Sources. It is great to be with you tonight. If you happen to miss any of the debate, worth going back and listening to that and reviewing how each of the candidates did, where they went, and why. As we were talking before the break, I think one of the most interesting exchanges of the hour for the debate commission tonight was the exchange around the pandemic and Utah's response to that, what happened, what went right, what went wrong, what could have been done better. And it was really the major point of disagreement in terms of everyone's answers. So there were obviously some things back and forth. And so let's start with Thomas Wright, who talked about how the pandemic had been politicized here in the state of Utah.
It's not fair to say that we politicized it from lieutenant governor, somebody who's been running for governor for almost 2 years as a sitting elected official and using his office to run for public office. And it's also not fair to politicize a situation when you're a business owner and the government is telling you what to do and you have the right to ask the government why they're doing it. We have the right to ask, where is the $6.6 million for the app we paid for an app that's still not working? We have the right as citizens, as business owners, to ask these questions of our elected officials, especially when they've been more than willing to campaign and put themselves out there. So to say that we're politicizing it just really isn't fair. I think it's unfortunate. And this is why we see this unrest, okay, Bruce, because people are frustrated with their government and they don't trust their elected officials.
Okay. So that was a big point of contention there. What was being politicized and who was politicizing it? Was it the governor's office? Was it the governor appointing the lieutenant governor Spencer Cox to head that pandemic relief and the coronavirus response? Was it the other candidates who were politicizing what was going on there? So that was Thomas Wright and his comment in terms of the politicization of the pandemic and what took place there. Here's Spencer Cox, his evaluation in terms of how the leadership has gone during the pandemic.
The last 2.5 months have been some of the most challenging in our state's history. We've called upon local leaders across the state at every level of government, the private sector, the nonprofit sector, the faith-based sector. We have all worked together on this response. I'm very proud of the people who have been working together and made those decisions in that response. Certainly, in hindsight, there are some things that we could have done differently. But by and large, we have had a tremendous response to this coronavirus crisis. And I think it's important to point out the facts and some of those important numbers. We were one of only 7 states that didn't have a statewide shutdown. A recent study came out that showed that there were 45 states who had more serious restrictions on the economy and on the liberties of people than the state of Utah. We were in the bottom 5 in that category. You've heard a lot about Dr. Fauci and President Trump disagreeing on things. One of the things they both agree on and have said publicly is that the state of Utah has done a tremendous job in managing this response. Again, not just economically, but from a health standpoint as well, to have one of the lowest hospitalization rates in the country, to have one of the lowest mortality rates in the country. People have sacrificed and it has worked. And so as a state, this is what we do best in times of trial. We come together and seeing what we have seen, it again, during the worst pandemic, one of the worst crises in our lifetimes, for sure. We've seen Utahns come together to lift each other up. We have sewn 5 million masks as Utahns for our frontline workers. That kind of stuff doesn't happen anywhere else. Just today, our farmers are taking more sheep and food down to the residents of San Juan County, those who of our tribal nations who are struggling right now. That's the best of Utah, and this pandemic has brought out the best in Utah.
All right, so that's Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox, who is also the head of the coronavirus task force. So he was defending their work, what they had done, what had gone right in terms of this. He was challenged by each of the other candidates in terms of some of the no-bid contracts, some of the other things that went on. But I want to shift gears a little bit now because I want to get to the forward-moving pieces of the puzzle, because to me that's really the test of this race. And really one of the important questions, I think, for each of us as voters to consider is, what does that future look like? I think Utah is uniquely positioned in so many ways, and so the leadership matters. And whether it's education, whether it's economic development, whether it's upward mobility and opportunity, all of those things are dependent on some really good, solid leadership. So we're going to break that down just a little bit. I want to start with former Governor John Huntsman's comment about housing and development.
Just as we close out the COVID conversation, let me just close by saying that this is a health issue, to be sure, but it's an economic issue, and it's a mental health issue. 2 suicides a day, 12 attempts. How much is attributable to people who are feeling a sense of despair because they have nowhere to turn? They have no job left. So let's be sure that we put this in proper perspective. On growth, I think the numbers that we're looking at, which is to say doubling the state's population by 2050, I think those numbers are low. I think because of the dysfunction of states and cities, even in our neighborhood, and because of the lack of trust that COVID-19 has brought about to local and state governments, I think people are going to be looking for a safe haven. And if elected governor, again, I want to make this state a safe haven for investment, for innovation, for entrepreneurship, and for people to come. And we're going to need affordable housing. It's important not just for young people getting started, but it's important in the whole homelessness discussion as well. And we have a shortage of 45,000. There's no doubt about that. But what is it that we do to overcome that? Well, we've got to work with the private sector. We've got to make sure that we understand and recognize the market signals that we're getting. But sometimes the market signals are maybe going to be a little different than what we would like. We need to align economic development priorities with where people live. So why is it we have 100,000 people coming out of Davis and Weber counties who are working in Salt Lake and Utah counties? Let's do a better job aligning our jobs with where housing is affordable. And let's also do what we can to encourage home ownership, because a lot of young folks today are renting, and they're doing it because they're in fear of what their future might hold. The best thing we can do for stability in our communities is to encourage ownership. And I think there are ways to do that in partnership with the private sector and also by better utilizing our land.
All right, that's former Governor John Huntsman talking about the economic plan, about housing and development there. Let's go ahead and let's sneak in one more on housing. Let's go to Thomas Wright, also on housing and economic development.
About housing, you're talking about the ramifications of children not being in stable households. There's all kinds of mental health implications. We're number one in teenage suicide in this country. I'm very uncomfortable with that in the state of Utah. Those are not our values. The affordable housing crisis is happening for 2 main reasons. Number one, there's a not in my backyard mentality that we need to educate and encourage people to overcome. If nobody wants to build affordable housing in their community, we won't have any. We can overcome that by being innovative, and I'm going to talk about specifics in just a minute. Number two, the second problem is the zoning ordinances. When you have cities that have very strict zoning ordinances, it's hard for developers to develop the kind of product that we need in the market. State government should never tell cities and municipalities what to do. As governor, I would never advocate for that. But when you have these two problems, not in my backyard, and these zoning ordinances that are prohibitive, you get urban sprawl. Because the only thing you can control when you're developing housing is the cost of land. And the cheapest land is always on the perimeter of a metropolitan area. So we're going to create urban sprawl by not tackling the affordable housing crisis. So let me give you a specific idea, Bruce, of something we can do to solve the problem. We built big box retailers for many years in our country. This was before Amazon. The parking lots were probably already too big, even back then. Now, post-pandemic, post-Amazon, they're even bigger than they need to be. Cities could look at those and say, these are on main arteries. These are close to where people are working. Let's give a zoning variance for the owner of that land to build some affordable housing. That's right where it needs to be. It will reduce congestion. It will make the quality of life go up. We need to think about this in an innovative way. But my three opponents have had their chance. They've held the highest three offices in the land, and we have 54,000 housing units that were short. It's time for a new leader that understands the problem and will work collaboratively with local cities to make it happen.
All right, again, that's Thomas Wright. So much more to come tonight. We'll hear more from former Speaker Greg Hughes, get some of his take in the second half of the debate. We'll also hear more from the Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox. And coming up here at 7:35, you want to hang around because we're going to hear from each of the campaigns. They've each designated one representative, so we'll hear from current Congressman Rob Bishop, who is tag-teaming with Thomas Wright. We'll also hear from Deidre Henderson, who is the Lieutenant Governor running mate to Spencer Cox. I believe we have Victor Iverson joining us here shortly as well. And then Marty Carpenter from the Huntsman campaign will also join us. So stay with us. We're going to step aside for bottom of the hour news. When we come back, much more of our breakdown of the gubernatorial debate right here on KSL News Radio. Welcome back, everyone. We continue to break down the Utah gubernatorial debate tonight from the Debate Commission. And for the next segment of the program, we're going to actually have each of the campaigns are going to join us for a quick comment, a quick look at how their candidate did in the big debate tonight. We're also continuing to watch, very important, coming up 8 o'clock as the curfew is set. Police are set to enforce that curfew coming up at 8 p.m. There is a growing crowd out there in downtown Salt Lake City, so we'll continue to monitor that here on KSL News Radio. And we're very pleased right now to be joined by Victor Iverson. Victor is the running mate to Speaker Greg Hughes, former Speaker of the House. And Victor, great to have you on.
Good evening, Boyd. It's good to be on the show. And thank you for everything you're doing. And also thank you for your listeners for paying attention to this important race that we have going on in Utah.
Very important race. So we got just about 3 minutes for each of the campaigns in this segment. So, Victor, tell us, one, what was the goal going into tonight? What was the key message for former Speaker Hughes, and how do you think he did tonight?
Well, Greg is the real deal. He's a bold conservative leader who can get things done, and that's really what we need as Utah faces this critical time. I thought the debate was a fabulous discussion about freedom, about Constitution, and about some of the mistakes that have been made in this COVID pandemic. The politicalization that's been happening. I felt like Speaker Hughes did a great job speaking out on those issues, speaking out on freedom, on the Constitution, how it cannot be suspended for public health policy. And I have to admit that I was pleasantly surprised that others joined in that debate and agreeing with Speaker Hughes and what he has been saying for a long time now about his concerns about the governor's office's reaction in this pandemic issue. Okay. But also, one thing that your listeners need to know is that with Greg, they get a true problem solver, someone who has the experience to get down and really solve some of these critical issues when you're talking about things like housing, when you're talking about economic development. What I believe the voters need to understand is that we represent a Utah unifying ticket, one that believes that prosperity in Utah needs to be spread across the entire state, and not just along the Wasatch Front.
Okay.
Even as beautiful as it is up there, let's spread that prosperity throughout the entire state.
All right. Very good. Got to keep it tight there. Thanks, Victor Iverson, representing the Greg Hughes campaign. Thanks for joining us. Next, we're going to go to Representative Rob Bishop as part of the Thomas Wright ticket. Congressman Bishop, you are a veteran of many a debate. What were you hoping to accomplish with Thomas tonight, and how do you think it went?
Well, thank you, Boyd. This election cycle has been extremely different. With the coronavirus stopping all sorts of in-person meetings, it's very difficult for people to actually take some time and listen to issues and work them through. Everything is coming through simply by prepaid commercials. However, as well as it was, this is the first time I think people had a chance to listen to all four of the candidates going over the same questions, even though a minute format is very difficult once again to try and get those things through, your ideas through, especially on complex issues. I was proud that I thought Thomas did a great job in not speaking about platitudes, but trying to come up with specifics of what he was attempting to do. In the first question about what you could do because of, you know, the situation with the rioting, he came up with the idea of a governor does have control on the through his commissioner on the post standards, the peace officer's standards and training. And he would actually make sure that those kinds of efforts on the curriculum would change to make a difference. On the housing issue, he gave the specific about what you could do with big box parking lots, specifics on what's happening with facial recognition issues that were going through there. With education, you know, the problems with high-stakes testing, which is difficult because some of the candidates that were on there actually encouraged high-stakes testing in education. Some of them actually passed legislation to implement it. But it's once again one of those questions that needs to be asked because it's the wrong direction with assessments and standards on education in the future. So I was happy that he was able to give some ideas, but he was also able to come up with some specific things that the new governor can actually do to solve problems instead of just talking in generalities of how nice it is if we could all just get along.
All right. Fantastic. Congressman Rob Bishop, thanks for joining us tonight. Appreciate your perspective, as always, from the Thomas Wright campaign. We're going to jump now to the Spencer Cox campaign and Senator Deidre Henderson. Thanks for joining us.
How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Give you about 2.5 minutes here. What was your hope going in for the lieutenant governor? How do you think he did?
Well, I think that the lieutenant governor did an incredible job. I think everybody was able to see the leader and the character of the person that I believe will be our next governor. Certainly, the Spencer that so many of us know and love came shining through tonight. He is a conservative leader. He has big ideas, and he has the experience that's necessary to continue leading the state. He has helped lead our state in the last 10 years through the most prosperous decade in state history, and he has the experience and to continue to lead us out of the economic problems that we're all facing because of COVID-19 and lead us into prosperity once again. He believes in Utah. He believes in Utahns, and I think that he reflects the very best that Utah has to offer. I couldn't be more proud of him. He's got great ideas for education, to restore innovation in the classroom, to make sure that our teachers are being adequately paid and that we're getting rid of unnecessary regulations that tie their hands and sap the love of teaching that we've heard so much about. He has been, you know, an incredible leader on the COVID front. And I was really disappointed to hear how that has been politicized by other candidates. It certainly has been something that he has not politicized and he's been very, very careful about. And I'm incredibly proud of the state's response. And our good numbers actually speak for themselves. I think that, you know, are those good numbers actually show that the state of Utah has done a good job. And that is the credit of all of the people of Utah working together, sacrificing, doing what's necessary to make sure that we save lives while at the same time getting back to work as quickly as possible so that we can continue to, you know, to recover economically.
All right. State Senator Deidre Henderson, running mate to Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox. Thanks for joining us for a special edition tonight. And then finally, we'll go to the John Huntsman campaign. Marty Carpenter joining us tonight. Marty, how you doing?
Good, Boyd. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Great to have you on. So give us a quick assessment in terms of what was the goal coming into the debate tonight, and how did the former governor do?
Well, I think you saw four men on stage tonight who all want to serve our state very well, and that's a positive. But what I think you also saw, and that most Utahns saw tonight in watching the debate, is that one of those men is uniquely prepared to serve us during these very unique times we're in. Governor Huntsman laid out something that none of the other candidates have brought to the table throughout this entire campaign, and that's a big idea and a big vision. Everyone on the stage tonight has an X-point plan to get our economy back to where it was. Governor Huntsman has one, his opponents have one. But only one candidate on the stage has a long-term vision to more than double the state's GDP. We have about a $180 billion economy here in the state. Governor Huntsman has a plan to take that to over $500 billion over the next 10 years by focusing on various elements that we already have set up in our state, our defense tech sector, our biotech sector, and our financial sector, and weaving those together in a way that no one else has envisioned yet, in a way that doubles our economy. That's how we pay for education. That's how we put people back to work. That's how we make sure we don't have to have our kids and our grandkids move away from the state. So the biggest difference to me tonight was that everyone's got a plan to get back to normal. One guy on the stage has a plan to take Utah where it needs to be. The governor brought up that point. When was the last time we had a big idea in this state? I'll tell you when it was. It was sometime between 2005 and 2009 when John Huntsman laid out his economic plan that laid the foundation for 15 years of economic growth. A lot of that's gone away because of the pandemic. He's got the vision to not only put it back into place, but to grow it from there and double the size of the state's economy.
All right, Marty Carpenter from the John Huntsman campaign. Appreciate you joining us tonight. And there you have it, just a quick assessment. It's always interesting in the big presidential debates. You have the spin room where everyone's trying to say what they did. I think that was a good assessment from each of our guests tonight, from State Senator Deidre Henderson, Victor Iverson from down southern Utah, who is Greg Hughes' running mate, Representative Rob Bishop with Thomas Wright, and then we just heard Marty Carpenter from the Huntsman campaign. So that gives us some really good assessment. There's still more to come. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to give you a couple more questions you ought to be asking yourself before you cast a vote for anybody. We'll break down the rest of the debate. Stay with us here on KSL News Radio. Welcome back, everyone. Final segment of a special hour of coverage here on KSL News Radio, the Utah gubernatorial debate tonight. We're going to continue to break that down. If you missed any of the debate tonight or any of our program here from 7 to 8, you can actually go back and listen to the podcast, KSL Politics Podcast, and catch all of that. It was a great debate tonight. It showed why Utah is different from the rest of the country when it comes to this kind of political debate. There was no nastiness at all. There was some good debate. There were some good challenges to different areas of policy and performance. And those are all good. Those are all safe. Those are all right. We should have that. Again, it's not about not disagreeing. It's just disagreeing better. And I think all the candidates did a good job of that tonight. And one of the things that we always talk about is in terms of specifics, something I'm always looking for when I listen to a debate is what kind of unique specifics do you get? That's where the differentiation often happens. And so I want to do some things real quick as we come down the home stretch here, as we listen to the final comments. A lot of interesting debate around education funding. Is that going to be possible? Where will cuts have to happen because of the economic downturn caused by the coronavirus? I want to go to a quick comment from John Huntsman as it relates to education that was different than the other three.
One of the biggest risks we face going forward is thinking small. So when was the last time the state had a big idea? Probably a very long time. So if we're going to do something special for our kids and for our families and for our future, because I've seen how the Chinese are educating their kids, are doing a pretty darn good job of it. The only way forward is to double our state's GDP. We can talk about everything else. We have to earn our way there, as I found out as governor before. I have a plan to take our GDP from 180 billion bucks to 500 billion bucks. And it's based around three industries that are $100 billion each in terms of what they can do: biotechnology, finance, and defense. We can make it happen, but we can also make it happen through public lands. The federal government owns far too much, and more of what we should get should be dedicated to education like so many of the states in our neighborhood have been able to do.
All right. That's, again, a very unique answer, that the answer to education was really around the GDP and earning our way in order to be able to fund that. Really fascinating and very specific, which is something I always encourage people to listen for. All right. We're going to go to the closing statements from each of the candidates now. Chance to hear what they left as their final message. This is also important. I always call this sticking the landing. That matters. You can have a great debate performance, but if you don't stick the landing, it just doesn't count quite the way it could have. And so let's go to the closing statements, and we are going to start with Greg Hughes, former Speaker of the House. Here's his closing remarks.
Thank you. Let me go back to my opening statement. I'm the conservative candidate for governor with a proven track record. Look, we have people in this state that would like to see this state turn purple, turn blue. They're registering as Republicans at record rates, and they're saying anyone but Hughes. That should tell you something about the course we have forward. I'm not afraid to say that I support our president, President Trump. I have seen firsthand as a public servant what he's done for this state specifically, that he'll probably never get the credit for, or people will never be able to, won't know the extent that he watches and he does lead as president and impact the lives for the good for the average Joe, the average Jane in our state. I'm asking for your support. I'm asking for your vote. We are surging. You're watching polls, and you'll see polls that show that we are the only ones in double digits going up in the polls and earning your support. I ask you to give us a serious look. Put us to the test. Hughes and Iverson, we will do all we can to earn your support, and we would appreciate and be honored to have it.
Okay, former Speaker of the House Greg Hughes there. His closing remarks, his punctuating statement in terms of what he wants to do as the conservative candidate. That's very much been part of his mantra throughout. Let's go now to Thomas Wright, who I think had a very strong debate performance tonight. Here's how he ended the evening.
A close friend of mine told me before I got into this race that running for office is an insider's game. And he said, Thomas, you're an outsider, and they don't like outsiders in their arena unless it's with their permission. I've learned that the hard way. But I'm in this race, and I'm in it to win it. I'm getting an incredible amount of phone calls from everyday citizens that are fed up with government because they think government isn't looking out for them anymore. They think government's looking out for each other. And not only that, we're getting a record amount of investing going on in our campaign. We've raised more money this month than any other campaign. And I want people to know Thomas Wright can win this race. Don't fall for the polling. The polling is an insider's game. The polling will lead you to believe that public opinion is already set. And if we believed that, Hillary Clinton would be president. And Aaron Mendenhall would not be mayor of Salt Lake City. And so many other races that we've seen. I'm in this race to win it. But outsiders can only win when other outsiders see the wisdom in turning government over. I'm Thomas Wright. I'm running for governor. And I'm sincerely asking for your vote in this primary election.
All right, strong finish for Thomas Wright. He had some really interesting moments throughout the evening. Really good performance there by him. And now we're going to go to the Lieutenant Governor, Spencer Cox, who many people are familiar with. And he played to many of those themes throughout the evening, his connection to the state and how things have been going over the last 7 years. And here's how he chose to wrap up the night.
So yesterday, my dad pulled me aside and he said, are you sure you really want to do this? We're looking at a global pandemic, one of the worst economies in the history of our state. We threw an earthquake in there for good measure. And of course, we've seen racial unrest and the riots in our capital city the last couple days. My answer to him was very simple. I'm doing this because I love this state. I care deeply about the people that live here. I believe we're unique. I believe we're special. I believe that we are a light to the nation. I'm running because the 2010s were the most prosperous decade in our state's history. And I'm running because the 2020s can be even better. Look, my friends, fellow Utahns, politics in this country is broken. But it's not broken here in Utah. We can reject negative campaigning. We can work together. We can bring together the voices of those who feel like they're not being heard. As your governor, I will get in the trenches with you and get my hands dirty. We will work side by side. We will shine the light on you and shine that light for the nation. I'm Spencer Cox, and I ask for your vote.
All right. That's Lieutenant Governor Cox, his closing remarks. And then finally, rounding out the evening was the former governor of the state, John Huntsman. Throughout the night, had a lot of big ideas, big plans, and this is how he chose to wrap up the night.
I want to give a shout out to Michelle Cafusi, who's the great mayor of Provo, for taking this journey with me as the greatest running mate anybody could ask for. People ask all the time why I'm doing this again. I don't need a title. I don't need a portrait hanging on the wall in the Capitol. I've got those. I'm standing here tonight because I love this state. This is my home, and this is your home. I'm running because I think this state has a destiny. A destiny to become the crossroads of the world. And I believe I can get us there. Now, in a few days, votes will be cast, then all the political noise will be over, all of the politicking. Then this whole thing will be about one thing, leadership. If now isn't the time for experienced leaders with a track record of bringing people together and getting real economic results, I don't know when is. I humbly ask for your vote. May God bless the great state of Utah.
All right, that's John Huntsman and his closing statements there, talking about Utah as crossroads to the world. Big picture, big vision there, specific plan. So if you missed any of our coverage tonight, if you missed the debate itself, again, you can go to KSL Politics Podcast and listen to that. And as you're listening to it, remember the questions that we've been talking about tonight. When you listen, what does that make you think of? Does it make you think of the candidate and them in office and power, or does it make you think about your life, your community, your goals? Is it a vision of themselves in office, or is it a vision for the people of the state? How will they make a difference if they run and lose is a great question to ask yourself. Do they talk in specifics or generalities? Specifics are always better. Specifics are actually measurable. And then finally, what are they for? We know what they're against. We know they're against their opponents. But what are they really for? All right, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Special coverage here on KSL News Radio, the Utah gubernatorial debate. A reminder, mail-in ballots will be mailed out on the 9th, so that's coming up very quickly. The election is on the 30th. Much more coverage to come here on KSL News Radio. Stay with us for continuing, ongoing coverage. I am Boyd Matheson, opinion editor at the Deseret News and host of KSL's Inside Sources. Have a great rest of the evening.